Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 25th of August, 2015, here in Japan. And today we are talking to a friend in America, Claire Burnish, who you may already know from her work at The Antimedia at theantimedia.org or The Pontiac Tribune at pontiactribune.com. Links in the show notes, as always. And she has just had, a success, I suppose, of sorts, with a very interesting article about Nestle. And it's a very interesting expired permit to extract water from the San Bernardino National Forest. Very interesting story, and the absurdity of this story is revealed in the headline of this article that we're going to be talking about today. Nestle pays only $524 to extract 27 million gallons of California drinking water. Absolute insanity. Claire Burnish, thanks for joining us today to talk about this article. And let's start by talking about the permit itself that allows Nestle to do this.
Yes, and thank you for having me. Nestle's permit is based on water rights in California that supposedly go back into the late 1800s. And the permit has been renewed, you know, successfully on a regular schedule, I believe annually, for years and years and years, until 1988, when it expired, and there was really no effort to renew it beyond Nestle just saying, hey, you know, our permit has been expired now, and we need to renew that, and, you know, what do we need to do? Not much of an answer there for a long time, until about 1999, when they began to ask more earnestly to have their permit reviewed so that they could renew it and make sure that they continued to have the right to extract water from the forest. The Forest Service was supposed to initiate a review and an environmental impact study. And though plans were made several times, nothing ever really came of it. They just kind of faded away. The most serious of those was in 2003, the Forest Service met with several officials from different agencies and with Nestle, and they made actual solid plans to initiate the review process. But suddenly that just stopped, and it was agreed that Nestle would, you know, supposedly stick to the guidelines of the permit and pay their annual fee for the permit, which is just $524.
Absolutely insane, because again, this is 27 million gallons of water that they're extracting from this, and it's obviously this is extremely important in the context of what's happening right now in California with the drought, the ongoing drought. And so this is now, I guess at this point, finally coming back to the attention of various people, including Ian James, who wrote an expose of this for the Desert Sun at desertsun.com that we'll link up as well after yours, a review of Nestle water permit to begin. So it sounds like activists and critics have finally made a dent in this story, and the U.S. Forest Service is actually going to renew their review of this permit?
It would appear that way, yes. However, for one thing, we've been in this situation before. As I mentioned, in 2003, this is about the same context. Things got really serious, and it looked like everything was getting underway. This time around, we have a NEPA study going open for public comments on, you know, whoever wants to say anything about Nestle's permit and what they feel, you know, the government should know about Nestle drawing water from public land. However, I'm speaking with ex-Forest Service officials, and there is some serious doubt about follow-through now. There are still budgetary concerns, and there are some questions on who exactly is funding the review process. It looks like perhaps Nestle should have been funding the process the entire time, which brings all sorts of questions, as you can imagine. But the main issue here is, will this be followed through with? And there are a number of doubts about that. We have an ex-USDA official now on a board of directors, I believe, with Nestle really high up. We have an ex-Forest Service official who is a paid consultant for Nestle. There just seems to be an awful lot of a hint of collusion going on here. So it's seems to me that it's possible saying, hey, we're going to start this review is more of a quelling than anything else.
That's right. And we should refer people back to your earlier article, Forest Service Official Who Let Nestle Drain California Water Now Works for Them, which I think pretty much encapsulates that collusion pretty nicely. Well, let's put this into context for people who aren't following the California drought. What is the significance of this in the context of what's happening in California right now?
Well, Nestle is drawing for their, particularly in the San Bernardino forest. This is an historic drought in California, unprecedented to this date. The water supply is very low. Homeowners are being fined, $500 for going over on their individual use. And, agriculture even has been scaled back and they're facing fines now. But Nestle seems to be getting away with just drawing the same amount of water that they have been. In another location, Deer Canyon, they're drawing even more water every year than they have been the previous year. In 2013, it was 56 million gallons, and the following year was 76 million gallons. But in back to Arrowhead Springs in San Bernardino Forest, their Strawberry Canyon, the area that this is in, is at its lowest water rate ever, according to data that you can find online. And it looks as if Nestle is largely responsible for the reason that this water is so low. Now, it's not as if there would be no problem because the drought is so bad if Nestle weren't doing this. But you have to look at the ecosystem that's there, the fact that there are endangered species now that weren't endangered or on the threatened list when Nestle received its permit to draw water from there. And no changes have been made to this permit. And so Nestle continues to go at a steady rate, saying that they are going to adjust their water draw as necessary if the spring shows signs that it's slowing down or, that they need to, according to, hydrology statistics and such. However, there is some question about what exactly they're drawing and what constitutes a spring. And I really don't want to get into too much of that at the moment, but they are also collecting an awful lot of groundwater and possibly more groundwater than spring water at this location. So there is a big question about what their water rights are actually for.
Right, exactly, yes. And I suppose parsing a 20-year expired permit is probably not the best way to determine that. What we need is some sort of review, perhaps. Yes. Interesting. Well, again, just to put this in context for people, I understand Starbucks has even decided to stop bottling water in California as a result of the brouhaha that's shaping up, and rightfully so, around Californians being quite outraged at these corporations stealing their water. But this has not affected Nestle at all so far?
No, it has not. Not one single bit. And it's not as if Starbucks, had some grand conscience and said, we'll pull out because we should. There was a lot of outrage and Starbucks responded to that. But at least they did respond, however. Nestle has not. And Nestle has been facing a great deal of outrage by activists and, the greater community at large in California. This is a precious resource. You can't live without water. This is a very, very big deal. And they have done nothing to curb their draw and said that they will not do so. They're pretty adamant about it, and they claim that they're being good stewards, but that is definitely in question. They're drawing right now, it amounts to 68,000 gallons a day. That is going to impact everything. And where they collect is in the mountains, and so the watershed that is below where the water should naturally flow has been greatly affected. There's very, very low flow in the canyon. All the species are being affected. And of course, the water supply in general. As the drought continues, this is only going to get worse. And there are indications by studies that this sort of drought is actually more the norm for the climate in California, very anciently speaking, than what we have been used to for the last 150 years or so. So this is really going to be an issue going forward. And the longer Nestle gets away with this without having any repercussions, the worse it looks. This is a big deal. If Nestle can do this, then other corporations might begin to say, you know, why should we do anything about it? If they're not going to, they're getting away with it.
Well, exactly right. I mean, look at what lesson Starbucks might be taking away from this. So we can just go ahead with it because no one's going to do anything. That's extremely important. And obviously there are activists and critics and people who are aware of this issue who are doing their part to raise awareness of it and to get people to boycott Nestle. But clearly this hasn't seeped into the public consciousness in a significant way yet, and there's obviously going to be a lot of corporate PR massaging behind the scenes of Nestle. And with regards to that, let's talk a little bit about this story that you wrote and its reception. Once again, Nestle pays only $524 to extract 27 million gallons of California drinking water, a pretty shocking headline, so it's no surprise that this story started to go viral as soon as it was released. Tell us about what happened and how it was received on Reddit.
Yes, this was interesting. Somebody picked up the story and posted it to Reddit, and within just a couple hours, it had made its way to the front page of the news board in Reddit. And I'm sort of a Reddit novice, but I'm told this is quite a big deal. And once it hit the front page, it very rapidly gained a lot of exposure and was upvoted just exponentially. It was amazing to watch the numbers in real time. And I was refreshing the page over and over again, watching the votes just go up. Somebody told me that the article was being upvoted at a rate of 500 per minute. And so it was rather exciting. I'm like, glad people are finally taking note of this issue. And I refreshed my page after I saw 5,773 upvotes, and suddenly the article was gone. And I mean, gone. I could not find it at all. It was no longer on the front page. It was no longer on the news board whatsoever. It had been pulled, censored.
Incredible. And there's no, I mean, you don't have any word from Reddit about what happened, or there's no one?
No, that's the thing. I was really unsure of what I was seeing. I wanted to verify it. So I had a bunch of my friends and coworkers go in and try to hunt it down, and nobody could find it. And so a few of us contacted moderators. We never got an answer. And we did try almost the entire night to get an answer about what was going on and why it was pulled. Normally, if there's, false content or if there's a problem, something disreputable about the article, then they'll pull it. But there was nothing that was factually incorrect in this article whatsoever. There was no reason to have it pulled, and we were never given an answer for why. So you can imagine that we're thinking some pretty interesting things on this.
Well, I'm sure people who have followed Reddit in recent years knows that it has become a sort of corporate PR stealth advertising realm, and also a way for corporations to massage their corporate image by getting stories removed. So unfortunately, this is just part of a trend. But it does mean that this reporting is having an effect, and I think we are at the point where this might be verging into the public consciousness. So on that note, I understand that these two stories of yours that we're talking about here today are part of a series of stories you're doing on Nestle. What are you working on next in your investigation?
Actually, it's pretty interesting. I have some very, very pertinent information that will pretty much make the permit issue almost moot, that is far more important and explosive. And I'm just waiting for the right opportunity to divulge that and let the public know what is really going on. There are, let's say, more fundamental questions about Nestle's involvement in the forest and why they've been able to get away with what they have than what has been divulged so far. And they are very basic questions, and it seems they have not really been asked at this point, but they need to be, and because the answers are not good for Nestle.
Very interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Where can we find it when that eventually drops?
It should be not too long from now, and it will be on theantimedia.org.
All right. Link in the show notes, as always. Claire Burnish, a very, very interesting issue, and one that I think is of relevance not only to Californians, but people who are interested in this issue generally. And I hope more people will be aware of Nestle and its practices. But anything else you'd like to add before we end this conversation?
I would just like to add that there are many activists and officials, ex-officials, working very diligently to make sure that Nestle is responsible for what they're doing. And it's very important to know that it's not a witch hunt against Nestle, except for the fact that Nestle has not been a good steward to the environment and the ecosystem where they are drawing this water. So it's not intended to slander Nestle. It's just that Nestle needs to take responsibility and be, you know, careful about what they're doing. And they are just not doing that. And they, you know, they need to be accountable, basically. And they are not. And the goal of everybody in this fight is really to just make sure that they're accountable and responsible. And I think that it's going to be a moot issue in the first place very shortly.
All right. Well, I certainly hope that that is the case. So we'll definitely keep a track of your reporting. Claire Burnish, thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.